Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition. Hey, welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with T-Meyer and Tasila. Hi, Tasila. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for asking.
That's good. Oh, no problem. We have a good show tonight for everybody. I'm sure you will be uplifted. You will be strengthened tonight with our program and with our special guests. But before I go any further, I would like to take this little time out to encourage everybody to call your friends and family members. Tell them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Tell them to dial in, or just tell them to click on the picture of T-Meyer and Tasila wherever you see our post. Just in order to listen from your computer. If you don't want to dial in, just click on our picture, and you can listen from your computer. If you see us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Alignable, Tumblr, or Twitter, if you see it, go ahead and click the picture, and you can listen to the entire program tonight or all the way through the whole show tonight on your computer or any day and time after tonight, even next week. So just keep that in mind. But tell them to tune in right now. You want to hear it fresh and from the start. All righty. Okay, so what are we going to do? Let's wait. First, before we do anything else, Pastor Tasila, I can hear it, and I'm sure you can hear it too. Something is coming. Oh, it's something that we are going to have to do. And it's happening right now. Yes, indeed, it's that time. It's time. It's time for a TNT moment. That's a T-Meyer and Tasila moment, so don't go away. Well, as a matter of fact, let's do that right now. What do we have for today, Pastor Tasila?
We have something that's very interesting. Someone wants to know what has happened to marriage and the family. Statistically,
oh, yes.
I looked at something, and over, I guess a lot of people don't realize this, but over 60% of the people in Los Angeles are single. That's just one city. And that's over half
wow.
of the city. And that's really interesting. So a lot of things are done, you know, with groups of people, you know, adults going out together, They run together. Mm-hmm. They eat. They go to movies together. But there's no couples. Not a lot of couples there. Only 40% of the people are couples. And I guess a lot of people hadn't had an opportunity to be taught on how important marriage and the family is. A lot of people don't want to get married. And how important a mother and a father being present is extremely essential in a family for the forming of a complete human being. And I'm not saying that because I came up with a mother and father, you know, in the house. Because I have seen a lot of success stories with people that only had one parent in a home that turned out pretty good with one parent. Mm-hmm. But God created the family and a family foundation. And God even says that we will be married to him. He loves, he invites us all to the wedding all the time. The whole theme is about us being prepared so that we can come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he's always inviting us to come to the wedding. And he considers himself as our husbandman and the church as his bride. And in Isaiah 62, he says, "For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." But there are biblical principles and family structures that make it hard for some people to conform to this. And nevertheless, it doesn't matter how we hear something and it's kind of hard to comply, you know, with, it still must be carried out because it's the word of God. And that's like what's in, sometimes we see things as like, whoops, can I do that? You could do all things through Christ that strengthens you. But in Ephesians 5:21, it says, but before I even read Ephesians, I just want to say this one thing, and it might be just like a blank open statement. God hates divorce. And a lot of people, you know, they contemplate it because someone has made them angry, someone has cheated, or, you know, it's infidelity or it's abuse in some way, one person, you know, abusing the other one. And I'm not trying to tell anybody to stay in any types of situations that are not of God. But in general, God, it says in a word, he hates divorce and he loves families, and he loves unity, and he just, that's just his nature. And I understand that sometimes things get, you know, above and beyond what people can handle. And even Jesus understood that. He said, because for the hardness of your heart, because I guess some people can't forgive, he said he gave them, they can have a divorce if because they can't get over it. But in general, going back to that, he hates it. But in Ephesians 5:21, he talks about how to have a peaceful marriage. And Ephesians 5:21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That means both parties submitting themselves. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. He's trying to say don't just submit yourself to all men because they're men. Submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Ouch. Truthfully, sometimes that hurts. It goes on to say that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And a lot of people don't like that, but it's the reality. God wrote it. He said it. And that's what it is. And the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, because there's order. And a lot of people don't like order. They like chaos. But he's saying that Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body, the church body. Therefore, as the church is in subjection unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, not just what we choose, but in everything. And then he goes on to say, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, this is very deep and will make some of you all strengthened again if you really listen. He goes on to say how Jesus sanctified and cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, here is the real interesting part. He goes on to say, so ought men to love their wives. He did tell the wives to submit to their husbands. And now he's saying, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So do we see these types of marriages in the earth right now?
And not really.
Because he goes on to say, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Because, you know, he's made the two one. So here's the thing. Once you get married, it says, let no man put asunder, because God has already made those two one body. Even though the selfishness of mankind causes people to say, this is my bank account, my house, my, you know, all that.
Right.
In the spirit realm,
right.
You could do that in the natural, but in the spirit realm, God has made the two one body. So where is it that people get it at? They get married, and then they have one argument, and for pride's sake, they're gone across the street to the next marriage. I know people have been married in this generation 3 and 4 times because if someone makes them angry, but they don't realize that they're severing what God has placed together. He said the two will become one. There's no more T. Meyer and Tassila. There's just us. In Christ's eyes, we're one flesh. For no man ever hated his own flesh. That's what the Lord says. You can't hate yourself. If you're hating your wife, your husband, or your wife, you're hating your own self. But what they do, you nourish your own self and cherish it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's God's take on all of this. So that's my take on family and marriage too also. And if we do things his way, we will have more stability in the earth, I feel, right now. If we take heed to the scriptures. Because if someone knows that when they get married, that the both of you are one, then you wouldn't try to sever. Because God said, let no man put asunder what God has placed together. And it's really interesting. Families need to be built up and together, and the leadership should be Christ. This is the how this whole system goes for those who are listening. It should be Christ, the husband, the wife, the children. Now, that might not go along with your modern-day thinking, but this is what the Lord says, and he operates in structure. Right, Brother T. Meyer?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. And, you know, what people don't understand is that marriage is the most powerful relationship among humans on this earth, besides our relationship with the Lord. Not even your relationship with your children is more powerful than the union of husband and wife. Remember, like you said, We are one. So it's written that the husband and wife are to be one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, man with a womb, woman, because she was taken out of man, mankind with a womb." This was not said or written pertaining to our children, only the man and his wife. Our children will grow up and leave us and form their own union with their husbands and wives and also produce a family. Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And as your children multiply, their family becomes an extension of the unity of you being one with your spouse. Because we are one, now we produce children, and then they grow and they multiply and so on and so on. With Adam and Eve, it was the Lord himself who ordained their unity, their oneness, gave them a commission.
True. Jesus was their pastor. God was their pastor.
He
married them. He was the officiator.
And he gave them a commission to multiply. Eve was to be the mother of all living. Adam and Eve were one. That's why God called them both Adam in the beginning. Did you know that? God called them both Adam. Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. This was for them to be aware of their oneness. It was Adam who named his wife Eve. God didn't name her Eve. Adam named her Eve. All of this was God's plan for marriage. We must understand that a marriage is to grow. Grow mentally, physically, and spiritually. It is to grow in every way. And now, because we're Christians, we are not only one flesh, but we are all joined to one spirit, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. "For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit." So now your wife is also your sister in the Lord, and your husband is also your brother in the Lord. Hi, sister. How are you? Marriages build families. Marriages build families. And God loves families. Marriages are designed to extend the family. That was Adam and Eve's mission from the beginning, to increase and bring more people to the earth who are to be in God's likeness and image. But they never completed their mission. Instead, they dropped the ball. But God is going to bring forth a people who Jesus will marry. His last day gold church, a people who will be joined to Jesus Christ so that together they will multiply and replenish the earth with people who look like, or basically who are in God's full likeness and image, the full likeness and image of the glorified Jesus Christ. Jesus and his bride will fulfill the original commission, be fruitful and multiply. That's why we win souls for the kingdom. We're multiplying. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. We've got to subdue this earth, bring it in order. That's what God's family is going to do. We're going to multiply. God has revealed his plan to give Jesus Christ, his son, a bride to marry. God has revealed his plan to give Jesus Christ, his son, a bride to marry. Over thousands of years and all throughout the Bible, the Lord writes about it. He gives us good types and shadows concerning Jesus and his bride. Like, for example, Isaac and Rebekah, was a good example of this. Isaac and Rebecca were types of Jesus Christ and his bride. For example, just as Abraham sent his servant to Abraham's kindred in search for a bride for his son Isaac. The servant went and brought many gifts to give to her and to Abraham's kindred. The revelation behind this is that Abraham was a type of God. His servant was a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent out from God to God's people in order to find a bride for Jesus Christ. That's why it's whoever have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He's calling out. The Son of God.
Come.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit went out and brought forth gifts, which are the gifts of the Spirit. Just as Abraham's servant gave gifts to all who were in the house of Abraham's kindred, and the servant covered Rebecca with all kinds of beautiful gifts, jewelry and costly array, far more than he gave to the others in the house. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to cover the bride of Jesus Christ with all manner of the gifts of the Spirit, God's sevenfold anointing of his Spirit. Jesus and his bride, when they become one, they shall bring forth a mighty people. Understand this. When Jesus is fully connected to his bride, it brings forth a mighty people. The powerful sons of God, they will extend God's family upon this earth in this hour. Jesus Christ and his bride, his last day golden seven candlestick church, will give birth to a mighty people who will change this world into the Garden of Eden. They will bring the kingdom realm of God to this world for the glory of God. So open up your ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. He's calling you. It's time for the wedding. Jesus wants to marry you so that you, together with Jesus Christ, can bring forth the kingdom realm of God on this earth. Amen. That's the message. That's it.
Oh,
come on,
that's beautiful.
For
you sent out that was an invitation.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Have an ear to hear. Give your heart to the Lord right now. Give your heart to Jesus right now. Just ask him into your heart. Ask him into your life. Ask the Lord
to
accept you. Yes, ask the Lord to accept you in his life, so that he can live his life through you. Ask him to receive you, and you receive him, so that you can become one. Him and you, you and him. So you can be married to the Lord and bring forth
be there.
His kingdom.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Let the church say amen on that. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it for our TNT moment. You can send us some feedback after the show, or contact us if you have any questions, or if you need us to agree with you in prayer. Also, if you need us to address something on Christian Talk, maybe a certain issue, if you have questions that you would like for us to talk about, well, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us after the program by emailing us at christiantalkr@gmail.com. We will reply to you, christiantalkr@gmail.com. We'll reply to you. You can put your phone number in the email if you like, and we will call you. And don't forget to check out our Christian Talk page on Facebook. Just friend me and go to my Facebook page and click on Pages. It's on the top left-hand corner, and then click on Christian Talk. And check us out, okay? Let us know what you think. Amen. All right. Hey, listen, don't go away. We're going to be right back with our special guest right after this. Hang in there with us.
In my eyes, never did I come. come to realize, no matter what you strive for in your present or your past, only what you do for Christ will last.
Listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, TNT, and our special guest today is Michael Pierce, also known as Maestro. Maestro is a strong Christian man. He's a strong Christian man that's determined to do the Lord's will, and he's grateful to the Lord because God has him in the battle of winning souls for the kingdom. Maestro is starting a Christian media company. He's starting a Christian media company very soon. Maestro's goal is to produce Christian films, documentaries, and films pertaining to community awareness and news. His goal is to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone, let's welcome Maestro.
Yay!
How are you, my brother?
Praise God. I think that was the best. That was the best entrance I've ever had.
I know you've been very busy, and we want to thank you for taking the time out to to do the program. And you're such a blessing to us. You know, the other night when we finished shooting, you and my wife and myself, we were just out there just talking about the Lord. Man, it was kind of cold out there, too. And we were just talking, man, and just having a good time in the spirit. So how have you been?
Mm-hmm. I've been blessed. Just thanking God every step of the way, you know, just trying to work one day at a time to keep moving forward, you know, and to the film company to try to, you know, just get the platform right, you know, as far as the Lord, you know. I don't want to, you know, I'm trying not to be skimp on the Lord, you know what I mean? If the secular world can have some of the best movies, if, you know, if they can have some of the best videos and the best documentaries and the best, you know, visual footage, we should be able to have it too. God should be able to have it even better, you know?
Amen.
Exactly.
That is so good. So
yeah.
What is, like, one of your ideas for a film right now, Christian-wise? Do you have a name?
You know, we've talked. It's funny because I'm actually putting the company together right now. So we have a group of guys just coming together, all Christians, brothers who, you know, deeply believe in God. And actually, I was going to talk to Pastor Niemeyer as well and see if, you know, and see if we all want to come together, because, I mean, we have all the equipment we need to do the film, to do the different films and mm-hmm. documentaries. I'm not so much concerned about me personally picking out one-on-one what we're going to do first, but more so concerned about creating the company, building the company, and making sure that the company can withstand any hits, you know, any battles that comes in,
yeah.
any challenges, you know, because I know
building
that if you have the right, yeah, if you have the right brothers, you know what I mean, we can, there's no shortage, you know what I mean, in titles mm-hmm. or, you know, things for God. There's no shortage in that. I mean, we're looking for writers. I mean, we have all pretty much all the tools, but we're just gathering the people right now so that we can go out here and represent God, you know, in a great way.
Good.
That's good.
Can you?
That's very good.
Okay, good.
Yes, and yes, we can talk. You said you wanted to talk to me. We can talk.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was gonna bring that to the table because it's just, you know, it's such a shortage of good material. I'm not saying that there's not people doing good things for, you know, for God. I'm sure there's a lot of good stuff going on. You know, I would never
mm-hmm.
belittle God's you know, God's glory in His work, but I just think that, you know, it's up to us to do our part too. You know, we have to all do our part. You know.
Yeah, because you can see that there's a need for more.
Amen.
We've got to use what we have to glorify the Lord and get His word out there. So you use what you have. I remember years ago the Lord told me to use what you have, and so
I
started using what I had.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't have much, but I used what I had. Yeah, and He will bless it and multiply it.
I think I told you, I'm not sure if I told you a story similar to that, where I was trying to go out and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to go out and touch people, you know, create these concerts and these big things, you know, for the Lord. And I was like, Lord, I just want to go out there and I want to reach everyone. I'm going to go out there and reach everyone. And then instantly God put into me, I didn't ask you to go out and reach everyone. I asked you to reach everyone that I put in front of you. You get what I'm saying? So it's one by one.
Yeah.
And guess what? Since then, I've reached so many people. It's like I think I've reached more people than I could have my way. You know what I mean? Because I probably would have crashed and burned. You know, who knows what would have happened during that process. You know, me trying to create concerts for the Lord and try to do all this big hoop, you know. But God made it clear to me, that's you. And I'm asking you to do everybody you see today, touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might not make it to tomorrow. Your will is not God's will. You know what I'm saying? It's not always God's will.
That's true.
So, you know, your will is not always.
Your concept was having a concert and bringing thousands of people in, touching them at a time. And the Lord was like,
thinking,
not that. Just touch who the Holy Spirit leads you to.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, you know, in a way that man thinks, like the world thinks. You get what I'm saying? I'm thinking big old grand. And God is saying, touch everybody individually. Everybody counts. Mm-hmm. Touch everybody I put in front of you. And so if that be the concert later on, then that be the concert later on. But don't start there. Start now. Start with everybody that I put in front of you. And it's,
so
it's
that
been really
means
good.
Obedience is better than anything, obeying him at that time.
Yeah, that's what I've got out of it. And it's been working. It truly has. I mean, I've met so many people. I've talked to so many people because when God put that in me, I was forced to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not forced, but I was,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was forced to do it.
And I'm glad that you said that, Maestro, because a lot of times people are always like, what is my calling? What is my what am I supposed to be doing? And when does my ministry start? Your ministry starts when you wake up in the morning.
That's right. Amen.
And you don't have to have large platforms. Yeah, it starts as soon as you awaken. And you don't have to have a platform. All you have to be is a spirit-led person. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And so you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you every day. And so here's something else that I know. If you put forth one step to do something, even if you're scared, God will bless it.
Amen.
If you push one foot forward and say, I'm going to just go over there and they don't get healed, they just won't get healed. But I didn't heal them anyway. Jesus decides if he's going to heal them or not. You got to have the right attitude. Lord, I want to see you heal them. Because just have compassion. And then you put forth one step, he'll do the rest.
You
it's
know,
all
you said,
him doing the work.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just that. It's just Jesus doing the work anyway.
Amen.
The work is being done by him.
When you said, people are always asking, where do you start? You know what I mean? Like, where do you start, you know, with the work? You know, everything, all things, no matter what, just the way you start is you wake up with God first. You have to wake up with God first. If you don't wake up with God first, you've lost the battle. You have to wake up with God first in mind. That means, you know, you can't be selfish. Because that's the number one thing that's destroying the world, is selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the truth is, if you wake up with God first, you can't go wrong. That means always you got to praise God in the morning. That means you got to walk with God. You got to talk with God. Build your relationship with God. You start off with God. That's God is first, period. And once you do that, you'll lose that selfishness too. We will lose that selfishness. How about that? Not you, but we. And to know our value, you know, we're children of God. You know what I'm saying? So we have great value. You know what I mean? We have great worth. But we, but, you know, so. And then as far as, you know, the fears or anything, that's faith. You know what I mean? You'll face all those fears with faith. Your faith got to be built. It's got to be strong. You know, it's an honor to be in the battle. When God has picked you to be in the battle, you know you're doing something right. To me, that's how I feel about it. God has picked me in to be. I already know who my God is. I know who He is. I love Him with all my heart. With all of my heart. He's picked me to be in the battle. That's an honor. That's an honor. What greater honor can you have to be called a child of God? Not the president.
Right.
That's nothing. What greater title can you have? If you think a title is more important, any title in the world is more important than to be called a child of God, you got to back it up a bit and start understanding, you know, glorifying God, understanding that God is first.
Yep. You're good. It's just making me think of that one scripture like you said, being a child of God. And in 1 John 3, it says, we will be, but we do know that when it is finally made visible, well, we got to go back a little bit. Beloved, we are God's children right now. However, it is not yet apparent what we will become. But we do know that when it is finally made visible, we will be just like him. For we will see him as he truly is. And all who focus their hope on him will always be purifying themselves, just as Jesus is pure.
Praise becoming, God. Can't wait.
Me too. Yeah.
Amen.
Can't wait. Yeah, but it's good, you know. It's beautiful. I think you know, there's people out there right now, there's a lot going on in the world, you know, it's just a lot. And I think that it's breaking, you know, it's just, you know, unfortunately it is Satan, you know, breaking things down a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Really destroying things, really just twisting things up, really, you know, stirring things up, really just going for the jugular right now. And I know that sounds a little, you know, aggressive.
But it's true. It's real.
But if that's exactly
not,
what
it's
he's doing.
It's reality. Yeah.
It's reality.
Evil is called good, and good is called evil. That's reality. Yeah. You can turn on any show and see that, any newscast and see that. Everything that's
news,
good is called
it.
Evil and everything. It's
right.
Reality. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, no matter what we go through, the good news is God is still in control. And that's the truth. You know what I mean? And so to me, it's like no matter what I go through, we talked about this the other day, you know. Why are people so surprised when they see all these things happening? When if you read the Bible, and I often ask people that too. I said, did you read the Bible? Yeah, I read the Bible. Well, either you didn't believe it. Because if you're so shocked, like, you know, people are like, I mean, I know Christians that's like every day, like, this is unbelievable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, and the last 24
so
months, huh?
Yeah, why is this so unbelievable? Did you not read the Bible? You know what I'm saying? You know, did you not understand it? You know what I mean? Because it could be that, too. You know, it could be a lot of different things. But the truth is, you know, if you read and believe, then you're not going to be surprised. You're not going to be, you know, all that. And then your faith is, for me, my faith is, you know, what I stand on. You know what I mean? I stand on my faith. You know, I stand on that. That's like a rock. That's as tall as, that's the Empire State, but it's taller. You know what I'm saying? I stand on that because I know, because I know that God is real and I know God is not a liar. He's not the world. He's on a whole different, it's two different atmospheres. You know what I'm saying? It's two different.
Right.
It's just they don't work on the same, you know, the same plane.
They're two different systems. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's two different systems. So, everything I see here, everything I go through here, I'm praising God for the good and the bad, for the little and the big. I'm just praising him for just waking up this morning. I'm praising him because I woke up this morning. I'm praising him because I'm able to look at my hand and see I got one. I'm just praising the Lord every step of the way. And, you know, and you got to walk in the Spirit. You can't just be talking. You got to walk in the Spirit. You got every step you take, you got to physically take that step and say, you know, that I'm stepping in the Spirit of God. And I know we all fall short. And I mean all, me, you, we all. Every man, every pastor, everybody, we all fall short. But it's so important to try to step by step in the Spirit of God. And these things you see before you, just got to remember, you know, that God is in control. And at the end of the day, no matter what this world is tossing at you, no matter what Satan is tossing at you, at the end of the day, we got to meet our Maker. You know, people, you're starting to see them kind of act like that's not a big factor. You know what I mean? You know, like a lot of these people, like you see them out here acting, doing all this stuff, and they're acting like that's not a. It's like it's becoming numb to them.
Mm-hmm.
But rest assured, that day when it comes, it's not going to be a numb day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That day is not going to be a numb day when when Jesus returns.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to think like that if you're smashing and grabbing and home invading, you know, other people's property.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have any respect. You don't really understand anything. I think Satan is their father, you know, when you're living like that, that reckless like that.
Yeah, and we all fall short. You know, I didn't even tell you this. You know, a relative of mine actually got shot and murdered right after we talked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where these kids are so young out here. And I'm not trying to say he was an angel either. I'm not one who, you know, put my blinders on to anything. You know what I'm saying? Even my own. I try
to put
my blinders on to my own situation. He wasn't an angel. They were out there. And, you know, you try to reach out to the youth and to the kids and, you know, and it's just like to these kids, God is not even, it's like they don't even, it's like the generation is missing, almost missing God. You get what I'm saying? Like we're not doing our job because these kids are growing up without even understanding, like knowing God or even hearing about God in a sense. Like, they got people that's combating God before they even get 4, 5, and 6. They, you know, Satan's already on them.
That's
right. Right.
Satan's already on them.
That's why
I told you the same thing. I said when from the age of 2, I started telling my daughter, I started teaching my daughter, you know, who's in control, who's number one, who, not me, not mama, but God. You got to start because if not, Satan's already, you know, he's already on your child.
There, the program.
He's already on the children. Mm-hmm.
And especially in the school system.
It's crazy in the school system.
Yeah.
It's crazy everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all we can do is, again, God is in control, and you know, we're going to stand on that. But we do have to, it's our job to bring awareness, to make a, you know, to bring it, you know, to bring
exactly.
it out. You know,
he is in control, ultimately, but he gave us authority to do certain things. And I would love to talk a little bit about that because of how a lot of Christians feel like just what you just said, meaning that literally. And God is, he sees all men. He is, if he ceased to think of us, we wouldn't exist. But then he gave us authority over different things. And he expects for us to do things. And a lot of times people are like, well, God has it. Lord, you have it. No, he wants us to call those things that are not as though they are. He said, I gave you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and to bring things down and tear them down and build them back up. And that's something that I think that the warfare that we're in, that Christianity has to come up to realize that Jesus gave you some tools to fight with. You know, you're not so helpless, and you can't just say, I'm just going to cry out and ask God to do this. You do that. We have to pray, and we know ultimately the power is of the Lord, but still he expects for us to do something, and praying is one of them. I mean, sincere praying, like you said, wake up praying. And putting on your full armor and standing against the enemy. Like Jesus said, you don't have nothing in me. You know, we got to choose our sides now. A lot, you can't be on both sides. You can't be on both teams.
Right.
And I think that's what the COVID thing coming in kind of showed. It's like, choose up. Are you going to trust God? Are you on God's side? Where are you? You know, it kind of brought it to light now. You know, you can't just hide and say, I'm a Christian and I go to church. It's time to choose where you stand and who you stand with.
And you find a lot of people who, you know, and it's just like, you know, you find a lot of people that say they're Christians. And you know, and this is part of how, you know, we hurt ourselves and other people hurt us as well, is, you know, they look at us, not what we say, but what we do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Our actions. Because, if your actions, you know that old saying that actions speak louder than your words and all that. But the truth is, if you're calling out saying that you're a Christian, if you're calling out saying you're a child of God, and you're sitting here, just walking right over the homeless, in fact, walking on top of them, you know what I mean? Where's your spirit at? The guy didn't say that that's not your brother. In fact, that's your brother.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, listen, some things you'll never understand. Sometimes you have to be, I just understand that I'm not going to understand everything, but I do understand, you know, that I'm a child of God, and that I can't just walk over a human being in the street, laying there, and I walk right over them, and you know what I mean, and act like they don't there. What part of God is that? What part? Where's your spirit going with that? You're trying to act like a human being doesn't exist,
or do not count, or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you just basically, that can't be of God. Because he made it clear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's not of God. And it's just that's just one situation. You know what I mean? And we can go into so many, the way people behave toward each other. They can't even talk to each other today. They can't even communicate with each other. They got us on electronic devices so much. Our kids, you realize this is the first generation that was born into all this stuff. They were really born. Like, they were born. We were. This came along. We started learning it. They're born into it.
Cool.
So, so they don't even communicate well. They don't communicate well because they're using electronic devices as if that's their form of communication. God gave you a mouth. He didn't give you. You know what I'm saying? He didn't. You know, he gave you a heart. You know, to use it. In a proper manner. You know, he gave you love. He gave you compassion. He gave you all these things, and people act like, you know, they shouldn't exist. You can see it in the world. You can see it.
Right. It's called the transhumanism is mingled with the electronic and digital world is more in power than the human. The actual human is not as in control. You know, they don't have emotions, they don't have feelings, compassion. It's more about communicating, even people divorcing over Texas, you know.
And whose agenda? Whose agenda does that sound like? Does that sound like God's agenda?
No, that's the devil.
Why is things moving so fast? So, you know what I mean? So we won't sit down and take a moment and really see what's really happening, you know, and putting all this pressure on the people. We're putting it, and people are just, we created this too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Let's keep it real. Our own selfishness. If you break down to any level of all this stuff that's going on, all the crime, all the everything that's going on, and if you break it all the way down to its core, it's because selfishness, because I chose to, because when God gives you choice, that's the most powerful thing to me, one of the most powerful things to me that I'm like, I scratch my head on that. You give us choice? Mm-hmm.
Free will.
Are you looking at these people out here? Because if you look at us, we're just chipping away at.
But we have free will to love too.
Right.
If you notice,
we do.
Love is a choice. Mm-hmm.
But our selfishness.
And then God has. Yeah.
I see it's our selfishness. It goes back to everything you see that's happening to the earth, everything you see that's happening to the people, everything you see that's happening. It goes back to our selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
You got to lose self. You got to get rid of me.
That's
and you
got
to put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put God first. When you put God first and then you lose self, like you stop, you know what I mean? Like when I say that, I don't mean like self-worth. I mean lose self as far as I, me, everything is about me. I'm only going to do something to gain if I can gain. I'm only going to move if I, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that,
mm-hmm.
that's what's happening out
that's
here.
That's true. That's true.
That's what's happening out here. When we look around here and somebody run up in somebody's house, well, I got to do what I got to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Those all that comes
mm-hmm.
back to that. And so
self-preservation.
When God gave us dominion over the earth, it was so we would be better managers. You know what I'm saying? We would be better stewards. You know, we wouldn't sit here and do this type of we're failing. Let's just
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Let's just
mm-hmm.
call it what it is. You can't get an A when you got an F. You can't get it. You can't sugarcoat that A. That's not an A. We don't get an A. Because
mm-hmm.
because selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to
that's
us,
true.
Each one, everyone that's listening, it's up to us individually to stop thinking that way. I know you have it all around you. The world is I. But you have to wake up with God. You have to wake up with God first. He'll get you through that day. He'll get you through that month. He'll get you through that year. He will get you through your lifetime. You have to start with God. You have to walk in the Spirit of God. You have to step by step, take each step. Sometimes, you know, you can't be, you know, like I say, sometimes we put on the Spirit of God as if it's a jacket. We just, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I say that to say, like, you'll get the deal. You praise God. You come out of church, praise God. Or you wake up in the morning, praise God. And then you get on the highway, somebody cuts you off, like they say, and then next thing you know, here come the cuss words flying. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to stay in the Spirit. Yeah, we have to stay in the Spirit of God. And I know it's a very difficult thing. We can't be perfect. I get what I'm asking or what I'm saying, but all I'm saying is we have to try. Because if we don't try, this is what we get. This is what we're going to have out here. You see this, what's happening right now in the whole world?
Mm-hmm.
It's shortages.
Yeah.
It's inflation is about to kick in. It's homelessness. It's everything that you can think of. They're worried about, you see why they're building stuff up in space? For survival reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? Because they don't know if this earth is going to, you know, global warming. It's just a lot of different things happening, and they don't know. The world is a lot more fragile than people think. You know, they have so much trust in the United States of America, and they don't understand that it's so fragile. Look at when the pandemic happened. It broke this whole system apart. As far as financially, people had to start getting
money. $27 trillion in the hole.
and we're at a point now where we might be facing another one. See, if God wants this to continue, I don't care how much money they throw at this. If this is an issue, you know what I'm saying? You know,
mm-hmm.
like that. It don't matter what they throw at it. And so the thing is, get yourself in order. Start. Just start now. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, wake up and start fresh. That's what the new day is for. A second chance to get it right. You wake up in the morning, it's a whole new day.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah.
And something else he was saying about walking in the Spirit, And the scripture says that too. So you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
When you do walk in the spirit of God, then you won't be trying to figure out how you could feed your flesh all the time.
I was just saying, go ahead. You can finish. You go ahead.
You said don't let them confuse you.
Yeah, I said, and don't let them confuse you. You know what I'm saying? You, a lot of times, you know, people are confused by not understanding things. You know, you're not going to understand everything. See, that's the thing. Everybody, well, answer this, answer that, answer this. who you think coming at you like that? Who do you think, you know what I mean? What spirit are you coming in? When you ask me like that, you know what I'm saying? I can look at you and tell you, you're not coming. Answer it. And you say, well, answer it. You know what I'm saying? And I tell people all the time, listen, I'm a child of God. There's a reason why they call me a child. You know, my mentality, when you compare it to God, it's like a little tiny, it's not even it's an infant. And so is yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So stop trying to know everything and trying to, you know, I got to know everything and everything got to be, you're never going to, you don't even know how you breathe. Most people, they were, you know, when they were talking about even like, you know, things as far as, you know, like, no, I don't want to get on that because that's just, it's just the pandemic and the shots and vaccines and stuff. But I was like, you don't know what's in the flu shot. The average person don't know what's in the polio shot. They don't know what's in none of these shots. They don't know what's in any one of the average person don't know.
Right.
But right now, because people are saying, what's happening is they're affecting. If this selfishness thing has really gotten to a point now, where okay, if you're in the wild. And you live with the herd. People are saying, "Well, what I do don't affect you." Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What you do, your actions affect me because you live in a herd. You might not want to think of us as that, but you live in a herd. And if one herd brings back some bad meat and it feeds to all of them, guess what happens? They all get sick. You do affect us. You affect us by being selfish. If you're going to just be selfish, this is how the world. You haven't seen how this world can get. You haven't seen it. It's not even.
It's only the beginning. You're right. We're at the beginning. Yeah, it's only.
We're at the beginning.
It's only one pandemic.
That's
one
what I'm
pandemic,
saying.
And it turned everything upside down.
And people, they don't want to work. They don't want to do these things. Like you're hearing all these stories, you know, where there's tons of jobs available, but they don't want to work because, and for whatever reason, they don't know exactly the reason, but sometimes they're saying, you know, certain things they're saying, well, because people have laid, you know, they've been laid off so much time. And some of those people are like, you know what, I'm going to find a new career. And then other people are saying, you know what, I'm getting free money. And then other people are saying, you know, so it's all these different things. Yeah, you got people out here. Look at what happened since the pandemic. You had people start panicking, right? They start going to go get food. Remember when we were having the issue with water and food and everybody was, you know, yeah, they were doing all that toilet paper and guns, right? Guns.
Right.
Yeah. So they went and they bought all these guns up, right? And all these guns are in these homes now. And guess what? People are getting robbed, and those guns are getting now back on the streets. And you see crime. If you notice, crime is high right now. It's higher than ever because all those guns. You went out and bought all those guns. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You put them in the street. You know, some of them use them for protection.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of them might. I'm not trying to say everyone, but that's what happens. Those guns have to go somewhere. They're not going to just go in every righteous person home.
Right.
A lot of them are in these streets now. And a lot of them also, they were talking about how they have these, they're trying to ban these new, these guns that's been existing. But what it is they're just, they're not buying the full gun. They're buying the parts from the vendors. Mm-hmm. And then they're making the gun at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's legal. So they'll buy all these different parts from different vendors and put a gun together, and it's called a ghost gun, I think it is, which is a crazy name in itself, but I think it's called a ghost gun. And basically, you can't really detect that gun where it comes from. So, of course, that's going to be committed in crimes. They said it's 400% higher because of ghost guns. And they said most of the crimes today are being used with a lot of ghost guns. Now, that's just, what they're saying. But
all I'm saying
is that there's a lot of weapons out here. You know what I mean? And right now,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people with that's not in the right frame of mind to be
right.
having all these weapons out here. What do you think that's going to cause?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That's so sad.
But we got to stand on one solid chicken. Hmm?
Yeah, go ahead.
What'd you say? No, I was just saying, we just have to stand on our faith, man, and God is in control. And that's not even the question. The thing is just, where are we going to be? What side of the fence are we going to be standing on? How many people are we going to be bringing on our side of the fence? How important are those people to us? How much value do they have? Is it worth it for us to go across the world and try to bring them to, and say, listen, God loves you. Like, praise God for your show. Because there's people, I get it all the time, because I post all the time. And you really see it just affects a certain amount of people every time. It might just be two. It might just be five. It might, but you know what?
Right.
That's God's work. That's the most important work you can be doing. That's God's work right there.
Mm-hmm. They did a little survey this week on Instagram, I think it was, where a man was holding a sign, and the sign said, if you need a hug, come. He just was standing there blindfolded. He said it didn't matter, but if you need a hug, I'll give you a human hug. So
Amen.
Many people went up to that man and hugged him
Amen.
And told
Amen.
Him a little story about what they were going through. And
yep.
so you're correct. Not just the earth, but people are very fragile. And people
yes.
do need
yes.
a hug. Yes. They need to be loved. It's a group of people that are that needs that. And then there's Satan's kids that's running around here beating up on everybody. But
yeah.
there is still a lot of people that need love and they need the Lord. And it's time to work, for us Christians
yeah.
to just get out there and just, even if you're hugging people, that's a ministry within itself
mm-hmm.
and showing love to people.
And, it came
people
across me today. It also came across me today, and I was like, a lot of people, they're waiting to start the project. They're waiting to start, Like they say, how do I get started? And then you have other people who are like perfectionists, and they don't want to start until they know that they can get it right and finish, right? And they want to be able to, The thing is, you're trying to plan for God now. You don't understand that you might start the project, but you'll be long gone before, and God, that project will still be going, and God will be using 50,000 other people to get that project where he wants it, where his will is.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that you
right.
have to start, finish, end, and do all that, work everything. God, you got to get it going. You got to start and let God do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Just take your – let God do the – you just because you started – that doesn't mean that it's God's will for you to finish it. I know that sounds kind of
mm-hmm.
backwards. You know what I'm saying?
No, well,
but
the
that
scripture
doesn't mean
says that too. One water, one, it's just different
mm-hmm.
parts. Of,
it just,
mm-hmm.
it, Yeah, you don't know. I mean, and I'm not trying to say be a quitter. No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, but everybody has a part. Somebody plants and the other one waters, and then it moves on. Someone else does something else, and God gives the increase.
Seasons. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be time for,
right.
You know, it's like one day you have, you got a friend that you grew up with that, you know, you guys were young and you haven't seen each other. It was the season. You moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You had to move. And guess what? God moved, you know, it's okay. A lot of times people know how to open doors. They know how to open doors, but they're real bad at closing them. See,
that's true.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? They can open a relationship. You can open, like you can walk in there and press that job. But when you're on the way out the door, oh, now you're cussing, now you're screaming, now you know what I mean? All this negativity. Sometimes it's just you have to understand that there's seasons to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's okay. And you need to be able to walk in the Spirit of God, even when you're walking out, because you don't know if that door might open back up. You don't know. You know what I mean? You don't know. You just but to walk out in that negative. That's you know. Like I say, we're very good at opening the door, but terrible at closing it. To me, from what I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, because sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that God's work is ours.
Right.
And it's really his.
Yeah. It's really his. I get it. You're passionate about the Lord. You're passionate about his work. You're passionate about, you know, but you're attaching your own will to God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's God's will and
right.
His way.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
His work, his will, his kingdom, and it all belongs to him.
Yeah, we do.
His choosing.
Everything.
He chooses
everything.
Who
all.
Does what?
Mm-hmm. All. What's that? What's left after all? Nothing. All belongs to God. You know what I'm saying? It's all his. But we are so, you know what I'm saying, arrogant. I hate to say that word, but a lot of us.
But it is true.
You know, that we feel like it's for him. It's for me.
Mm-hmm. My kingdom.
And here we go again. What does that take you back to? Selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've tried to figure it out like 50 ways, and it all leads back to selfishness. I, me. You become a master of it now. You get the ish on the end. You know what I'm saying? You know, selfish. You're a master of it. You
mm-hmm.
get a diploma. Everybody gets a diploma. We all get a diploma. But we got to get off of that one because it's destroying the world.
Yeah.
We have to care. We have to care. We have to love. That's the number one thing. We have to love
right.
each other. But we've fallen
right.
so far away from the love of each other. And what happens is when you fall away from the love, you go back to the corner of I.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By default.
And it's,
that's a default.
It's not a pretense love either. It's reality, a real love. We have to have real love, not just talking the words.
Yeah.
Or pretense.
You know.
You have to be. Yeah, you have to. And if you don't have it, you have to ask the Lord for it, guys. A lot of times people say, you're always talking that love stuff, and I don't feel that. And sometimes people don't. You don't feel it,
right.
but you ask God right. for it. He's filled with it. That's his
so
whole
character.
You wake
character up with God first.
Love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to wake up praising God. When you take your first breath, you got to build your relationship with God just like you breathe air. You get what I'm saying? You don't question if you breathe air. You don't question where the air comes from. You don't, but you know it's real. But you know it's the only thing that will keep you surviving. Don't breathe air. See what happens. You're going to die. Same thing. You have to wake up, hitting your knees on the ground, praying every morning, building your relationship. Some things you're just not going to understand. Keeping your faith, pushing, you know what I mean? And just and knowing that God is in control. And you have to read, you have to stay in with your Bible. You have to stay in the Word of God. You have to, you know, it's certain things you just, you got to wake up.
There's no getting around
wake up on it.
As a Christian.
No, not in this world.
No.
Not in this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not in any world. No. But yeah, just no getting around. You're right. As a Christian, there's certain things you just can't not get around. And that's one.
Because
you wake up in the morning.
Because if you don't do that, if you don't keep your spirit man filled up, your flesh will rise up and vote you off the island. And it definitely will push your flesh and your mind, because you're always craving. Your flesh is craving constantly. So what he's trying to say is, if you're reading, praying, and building up your spirit man, then that is where you're going to be operating from in the spirit realm, and not allowing your flesh to tell you what to do. Eat more cookies and pies and whatever it could be, and drink more or whatever it could be, anything. It you know, because your flesh is always craving, and it's always selfish, and it's always first as far as it's concerned. It's above, it tries to be above your spirit man, but your spirit man can crush your flesh and put it in its place if you continually fast, pray, read. You keep your spirit man built up. That's how you war and you fight. And so a lot of times Christians don't realize they have more power than they think they have. You're not weak because all these things are happening. That's just the devil showing up. It's two things going on. It's the kingdom of God being built up, and it's the kingdom of the devil and those that are going to hell. And they have an agenda just like God has an agenda. His agenda is the army of the Lord and the kingdom of God. So, you know, it's what side you want to be on. You can't allow all this sin to cause you to sin and say, what's the use? It's hope. It's hope in Jesus Christ. And,
amen.
God has something very good. Like I said, two kingdoms, and the kingdom of God is coming through, and it's going to take this whole system like a storm. And that's the good news that I know about, how the Lord is going to, his presence is going to rise up and overtake all these dark works. We see the darkness because God wants his people to cry out to him. If you cry out to him, he'll heal you. If you cry out to him, he'll change things.
Praise God.
But he wants his people to cry out to him. And don't think you're hopeless and helpless. God is like he said, in control, still in control.
Yes.
And
definitely
you
not.
Are under his authority, and he has given you power to trample over the devil's kingdom. The devil seems like he's winning because Christians need to stand up and trample over his kingdom. Because I just want to read this
Christian,
that the Lord says it. I'm sorry, babe. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Read what you're going to read.
Yeah, because I want the Christians to know you don't have to be beat up. you have power over all a lot of these things that are going on. And this is in Luke 10. It says, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority. This is Jesus talking. To trample over his kingdom, the devil's kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. However, your resource of joy isn't merely that these things or these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't be helpless. Yes, powerful what Jesus has done for us. And I need the army of the Lord to stand up with this. I need the army of the Lord to start taking on what Jesus gave us, his authority. And God does have everything in control. He is the ultimate power over all of us. But then there's things he has assigned us all to do. We can't just sit around and act like, woe is me. There is home invasions. It's this, it's that. It's Corona, it's Omicron, it's now. Look at this. You can't just, God is like, stand up and fight. You got to stand up and you got to take control.
Where's
first
your
of what? Your own surroundings. Take control of the things in your house, your family, over sicknesses and diseases, and put them under your feet, because Jesus already won for us. And now he gave us the authority to fight back. And that's what I need for Christians to do. Don't woe yourself in this, all these terrible situations that we're all watching, because it is going down. And we do see it is not like it's not happening. It's happening for real. And so,
and you know, and Christians have to stop being victims so much and start being warriors and champions. You know, when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name, you know." And when they said that to him, the Lord said, "I saw Satan fall as lightning fall from heaven." He said that at that point. So why did he say that at that point? Because these little men, these little fishermen and little nobodies, was destroying Satan's kingdom. These little, 70 men or so was destroying Satan's kingdom. So if they can destroy his kingdom, can you imagine if the Lord had a great army of believers like that, that obeyed the Lord and used the authority that the Lord has given us? If we all come together and use that authority and work hand in hand with the host of heaven, we can destroy this kingdom, the kingdom of mankind and the kingdom of Satan. We can destroy those kingdoms and establish the kingdom of God on this earth. That's what could happen.
You've come too far. I tell you, I tell my brothers and sisters, we've come way too far to sit here and second guess our value, who we are. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Way too far to know to second guess our worth. You've already you know this. You know that we've come way too far, and now you come to, you know, the thinking pattern of you look at the world, and you know we knew this was going to happen. This is what kind of trips me out, because we knew all this stuff was going to happen. I mean, in the Bible, it tells you all these different things that's going to occur, and in the end, it's not going to get any better, guys. It's not going to get any better. Everything's going to get worse.
Right. There's no going back to normal. New normal.
No. So, but the thing is,
gird up
again. You have to. That's why we have to be strong. Why do Christians think just because you love someone, or you have show compassion, or you know, or the world think that, you know, that makes us weak? That doesn't make us weak. In fact, it takes more. It's easier
To
destroy somebody than to love them. Who's the weak person?
Mm-hmm.
Really, you are. Really, you're the weak person.
Right.
If you're not able to show and get to the depths of your own spirit, of the Lord's spirit, compassion, show value for other people, for humanity. Why can't you get there? Is that my weakness? No.
Amen.
Can I still kill people? Yeah, I could if I wanted to, but that's choice. If I wanted to, but because I'm a man of God, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a man of God. You know what I mean? I don't do that. I have no desire to do anything like that.
But what makes you think you can take advantage of that? Because I decided to to have meekness and show strength, restrain, you know.
And be obedient to the Lord.
To the word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First you know, foremost, you guys, I'm just being obedient.
Yeah, and our time is really speeding here. It seems like time goes fast when you're having fun. But, Maestro, I wanted you to pray for the listeners out there, even with some of the things we were talking about. You know, just do you have a prayer for them that's listening?
Sure. I'm usually a quiet prayer to myself, but you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. So, Father God, we come before you today. We thank you, Lord. We come to you humbly. We ask you to help those who are in need, and they just, you know, they're going through tough times, and they just need a little bit of help, Lord. Not even just financially. Sometimes it's just, you know, picking up their spirit and just trying to see that there's other people like them that feel like them. You know, Lord, we ask you to touch their hearts and let them see that we're the body. The body is alive and well. It's kicking. You know, we have no problems, Father God. We're thankful because we have you. Our issues are just worldly issues. And, Father God, if it be your will, let it be your way. We're not trying to come to you. And I know that, you know, Lord, we're supposed to come to you for everything, basically. But I'm just asking you, Lord, that you help them, touch their hearts, you know, give them, you know, a little hope, you know, help them wake up tomorrow, maybe with a new frame of mind, a new spirit, a new, you know, effort, a new effort of trying. You know, I'm gonna turn away from the way I felt and move in a more godly spirit, in a positive way, in a loving way. I'm going to try to stay around positive people, with godly people. You know, we pray that people will help them come out of their whatever situations they're in. If it's financially, we pray that they come out, you know, that you'll help them come out of that as well. Father God, we just love you with all of our heart. We want you to know that we praise you, we love you, and adore you. There's nothing before you. And Father God, we just ask you to touch these people out here, no matter if it's one person, 10 people, or a million people. We just ask you, Lord, and we're thankful, humbled, and honored that you allowed us to do so. So we just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Tasila, any last-minute words?
Oh, no. I'm good. I just want to tell, you know, encourage the people to be strong in this time, you know, with all the different changes going on, that, you know, let them know that God already knew that all this was going to happen. It's written already. And it's just that praying for their strength to get from one part of it to the next. You know, just do one day at a time. Like Maestro was saying, wake up praying, wake up reading, and, you know, praising the Lord, setting your day. And if you don't set your own day with your mouth and through your prayers and your reading and talking to the Lord, then the enemy will try to attack. So, you know, set your day and be strong in the Lord and know who you are, know your identity, that Christ has already given you a lot of authority. Use your authority that he's given you so you won't feel like you're being overtaken and pressed down and, you know, things are out of control. You can call things back into control. Lay your hands on your bank accounts. Lay your hands on your family. Lay your hands, you know, and that's it. You just start making those things that are not and reaching into the heavens and bringing them into this realm as though they are, because God thinks good of you. He loves you. He wants to see the best for you. And anything that's negative is not of him, is of the enemy. That's it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for tuning in. all of our listeners, we really appreciate you more than words can say. Keep in mind that we are here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And also keep in mind that this is a worldwide program. So there's different times. Some people are listening to this Thursday morning, and some in the Philippines are listening Thursday afternoon. So we're all over the world. So we just want to thank you for tuning in, and just be with us again next week. Thank you, Maestro, for being with us tonight. It was a blessing. We love it.
Amen.
And we'll
Amen.
Talk to everyone soon. Goodbye, everybody.
See you next week. God bless you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Amen.